Hey there, I wanted to take a brief moment and welcome you to the Focus Point Podcast. If this is one of the first episodes that you're hearing from us, please head over to our website, thepointoffocus.com, where you can find out some more information about who we are, what we're doing. You can also find other podcast episodes and blog posts there as well. That's thepointoffocus.com. I'm so glad that you decided to give one of our episodes a listen. I really hope that you will be blessed and encouraged through what you hear in this episode. I also encourage you to share this episode with your family and your friends. Once again, I just thank you for taking some time and listening to our episode. Now, let's dive in to today's episode. After our one episode break from the book of Philippians, we are back in it today as we are looking at Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 11. So if you have a copy of the Bible, whether it's paper or electronic, you can go ahead and open it on up to that, and we will begin there in just a little bit. Once again, that's Philippians 3, verses 4 through 11. And this is part of kind of like how I broke up Philippians chapter 3. After I read it and began to kind of look at it, this section provided a little bit of a different kind of approach than the original way I was going to look at it. So we looked at verses 1 through 3 two episodes ago and kind of talked about, once again, Paul restating the theme and then some things to watch out for. And now we're kind of going to dive into the next part that is a little bit more storytelling. And so I'm going to share a story with you, as well as we're going to look at Paul's story. And what the story is a little bit of the origin of how, who he was before he met Jesus, kind of how he met Jesus and all of that. And I'm going to share my story, and then we're going to dive into why that's important in verses 7 through 11. And so we're going to see a little bit of that. But I wanted to say real quick, I hope that you enjoyed last week's episode, a little bit of a look at the humanity of Jesus as we kind of took a different approach into looking at Jesus. That's one of the things that I highly believe. And if you didn't have a chance to check that out, you can go ahead and it's in our archive. You can check that out. But it's just something that I believe deeply, is that Jesus was a human being and that he experienced the things that we do. Because if the Bible says it, it's true. Because if any part of the Bible, any word, any verse, anything in the Bible is not true, well, then the Bible's lying. And since the Bible is God's inspired word, and what he says about Jesus is true. So I was excited to be able to share that with you again. Just a little bit of a note, next month we're going to be doing another little From the Vault special series, and we're going to be looking at a little bit about the Bible, some Bible basic stuff. And so I'm excited to share that from the past as well. So we'll be doing that again next month. And so let's dive in here to see where we're at. We're also going to be referencing in Acts 8 and 9 for this. But let's start here. And so it says that in verse 3, it said that we rely on what Christ has done for us and put no confidence in human effort. Though I could have put confidence in my own efforts if anyone could. Indeed, if others have a reason to have confidence in their own effort, I have even more. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. That was the custom back then. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, and a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience of the Jewish law. I was so zealous for God that I harshly persecuted the church, and as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. So we're going to stop there, and then we're going to go into what he says after this, after we kind of share some of these stories. So as I said, we're going to reference Acts 8 and 9. I might read a little bit from it, but right now we're just talking about Paul's story. Okay, we first see Paul, and Acts 8:1 says that Saul was one of the witnesses, and he agreed completely with the killing of Stephen. So Acts chapter 7 sees the stoning of Stephen, and apparently at Paul, or Saul at that point's request, he, much to his delight, he agreed with it. It says at the end of Acts chapter, it says in Acts chapter 7 somewhere that they, right at the end of Acts 7, that they dragged him out of the city and stoned him and threw their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. So that's where we first see Saul, is in Acts 7:58. And then in Acts 8:1, we see how he approved of this stoning. And then, so some things happened there. So we see in our talk in Philippians that he was a Pharisee, that he was circumcised, that he was a part of the tribe of Benjamin, all of these things, right? Circumcised at age 8, which indicates that he was a part of Israel. That was Israel's custom then. He was also a Pharisee, as he mentioned. And we've all talked about the Pharisees before. The Pharisees were, like, he knew the Bible. He knew the law. And when he says he lifted to a T, the Pharisees believed that they did. Right? And so he was trying, in our reading in Philippians, he's trying not to toot his own horn. Right? He's trying not to present him, but that's what he was. Like, he was relying on his human efforts. That's what the Pharisees did. They had the law memorized. They studied it and all of that. And then, in Acts chapter 9, we see how he also indicates that he persecuted Christians, right? He persecuted followers of Jesus. And so, in Acts chapter 8, and we are going to read verses 1 through 9 here, real fast. It says, Acts chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats at every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest, and he requested letters to address to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for the cooperation and the rest of any follower of the way, any follower of Jesus he found there. He wanted to bring them, both men and women, back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?' 'Who are you, Lord?' Saul asked. And the voice replied, 'I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go back into the city, and you will be told what you must do.' The men with Saul were speechless, for they heard someone, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by a hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink." So, this is how Saul met Jesus. He was in the middle of all of this persecution that he was doing. As he said, he was a member of the Pharisees. He was harshly persecuted the church. Right? So we see this, and we understand that Paul, who later changes his name, like his name later is changed to Paul, but as Saul, he was just... it says here, zealous. He was just after the way of Jesus. And this comes off the heels of Jesus' death and his resurrection, right? So Acts is right after that. And now we're seeing this new movement as we see in Acts 1. The church kind of begins. Peter starts to preach. All of this stuff. Acts 7 holds Stephen's sermon that led to his stoning. And so, but this persecution of the church was started because they were trying to just eradicate all of this Jesus talk, the Jesus way, right? They were trying to eradicate all of that because of the uprising that Jesus caused, right? The Pharisees had the law memorized, as Paul indicates here. They followed it, the strictest obedience, right? They called people out. That's one of their problems with Jesus, is they kept calling him out. Hey, what are you doing about this? And then he would answer them, but it wasn't the way that he expected them to answer. And Jesus' mission, it says in the Gospels, is that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. So not to like, but he came to fulfill it so then he could set up his new covenant, right? The new law, if you will. And he gives his commands, you know, to love each other and all of that stuff, right? Jesus wasn't saying that the Pharisees necessarily were wrong. It's their approach of things, how they were doing it. You know, telling people they couldn't carry their mat on the Sabbath because you weren't supposed to do any work. And it's almost kind of like, well, can we breathe? Because breathing is work sometimes. And so we see this, and then he meets Jesus. So much so that in Acts 9, the people cannot believe that somebody like Paul had met Jesus that was actually changed, and they run him out of town. And Paul then, you know, goes on his missionary journeys, and he starts churches and all of that, one of which is Philippi, and we talked about that at the very beginning of this I've Got the Joy series. So then Paul has a moment with Jesus, and he forever changed his life. But the thing is about Jesus, and I've mentioned this over the last couple episodes, is Jesus didn't wait for Paul to clean it up. Jesus didn't wait for Paul to change and to make it. Jesus just met Paul where he was at. And that's how Jesus does it. In a series later on that we're going to do this year, we're going to kind of talk about how Jesus did things. And it was radically different than the way the Pharisees did. And I think that's why Paul addresses this here. He was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. He was so over the top with that. That wasn't the way Jesus did things. And then Jesus met him, and he met Jesus, and things changed. So much so, we see here in verse 7, I once thought that these things were valuable. Now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the infinite value of knowing Jesus Christ as my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through my faith in Christ. For God's way of making us right with him depends on faith. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that has raised him from the dead. I want to suffer with him, sharing in his death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. Solomon also writes in Ecclesiastes about this everything is meaningless theme that goes through the book of Ecclesiastes, that all of this stuff is just pointless if we don't have Jesus. Nothing matters. We don't get to take anything with us. We don't get to, we came into this world the way it is, and we came into this world with nothing, and we're going to leave with none of this. Paul realized that he knew Jesus, but he didn't know Jesus. So I want to phrase it as knowing is not knowing. You can know a lot of things about people, but you don't know them, right? You can list all these stats and all of these things about football players, hockey players, basketball players, whoever it is, anybody from the history. You can know all that you want to, but you don't actually know them. And that's what I think Paul was trying to do here, as he mentioned his past, and then he's like, but I count that all as meaningless and pointless until I actually knew Jesus. He indicated that he knew the law, which means he knew about Jesus. He knew about this Messiah that was coming, because they had that prophecy. They had that. And I'm sure Paul knew that. Paul knew all the things that got it done, all of this stuff, right? Paul knew. And Paul didn't know Jesus, though. Paul knew about things, but he didn't know the person. We can know all the things we want about any president of the United States, even a current one, right? But we're not ever, if we don't meet them and introduce ourselves and, hi, we don't actually know them. We just know of them. Michael Jordan, Tom Brady, any of these other people, unless you actually meet them, you just know of them. You don't know them. Knowing is not knowing. Paul realized that after meeting Jesus, that everything else he knew didn't matter at all. He says it right there where he says that, where was it? Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus. The infinite value of knowing Jesus is far better than anything that Paul knew. And he came to realize that. And it's so important. And one thing he says here is that for God's way of making us right depends on faith. We talked a lot about faith last year. But it's that faith that we have. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit as we close out here. But I wanted to share my story here real briefly. And I attended church all my life, as most people who probably say, all right, wait, I went to church. But there's some moment, right? Like, I knew the stories. Like, just like Paul, I knew the stories. I knew about Jonah and the fish. I knew about David and Goliath and Gideon and Noah and all of these things, all of them, right? I know I'm not even touching, but like, I knew about I knew them. I knew the stories. We did the flannelgraph thing and we did all of this stuff like that. And I knew all about them. I had been told them from the time I was young. But until I met Jesus, I didn't actually know. I knew the stories and I knew of him. You know, I knew of how he healed people and how he walked on water and all the familiar stories, right? But I didn't know Jesus. So I was in second or third grade. It's hard to tell because I got held back in school, and so like, it's hard to tell when I was this age, but I know it was age 8. So whatever grade I would have been in about that, I'm thinking second grade, or maybe my first round of third grade. So that's why I kind of have a muddled time frame. And some people actually have told me, you know, well, you don't remember the date? Like, that's a life-changing thing. It's like getting married or remembering your birthday. You don't remember No, I don't remember the actual date, but I remember the event. And I don't think Jesus, like, really cares if we remember the date, as long as we can remember our encounter with him. Paul never mentions a date. Did you ever mention him say, on September 17th, you know, what, you know, I fell down in the road of Damascus and I met Jesus? That's not what he knows the event. The event sticks in his head. So at this church that we went to, we had recently moved across into the new building. The church had outgrew the other one, and we built a new one and all of that. And I can remember you go upstairs in that building, and that first door on your right, I'm sorry, on your left, was the room I was in for our Sunday school, for our kids ministry, if you will. It's a Sunday school time, right? And I remember the teacher was talking about some different things. And right toward the end, the teacher of the time, see, I don't even remember who it was. I have an idea of who a couple of the people could have been. But they asked us all, you know, hey, do you want to know more about Jesus? Do you want to know more about meeting Jesus? Do you want to know about having Jesus as your personal savior and all of that? And if you do, you can get up right now and we'll go out back out the door, and there'll be a couple other of our leaders out there, and they'll help direct you to where you can go to talk more about this. And so, you know, I was thinking about it and I waited a little bit, and then I got up and I went out to talk to these people. And out there, you know, because they had said in there, you know, if you got up and left, you know, what you were planning on doing as you were getting out and leaving, right? But when I got out there, they asked me what I was doing out there. You know, why did you come out here? You know, I was baffled by this question because I was like, you know, they said in there to come out here. But because I didn't give them the answer that they were looking for, the answer was, you know, hey, I want to come know Jesus. I came out here so I could know Jesus, or something on that lines, right? But at that time, like, I didn't know because I was confused, right? Like, you send us out here so we can learn more about Jesus, and then you ask us why we're out here, right? That's confusing. So, anyway, I went back in. They sent me back in, and the next week, they did a similar kind of thing. And this time I went out because I want to know more about Jesus. I want to know about how to have him as my savior, right? And then they sent me down the hallway to like the next room that was down there. And there were some tables in there with some other leaders sitting at there. And they had track kind of things, you know, the little pamphlet things that still sometimes show up. They've gotten a lot simpler lately. I actually got one from a businessman that brought me a dumpster, a little bit of a rabbit trail ADHD moment right there. But yeah, he handed me a plan of salvation and this little two-sided thing. But they sat me down and they walked me through. I don't know what they walked me through, but I can almost probably guarantee that it was the Romans Road, typical of what I use here. It's the easy, when I say easy, it's like it's the most known way to introduce somebody to Jesus. You can do it any way you want. Paul did it in lots of different ways, right? Paul didn't sit down and like bust out, like Paul just talked to people sometimes. Jesus even just talked to people. He didn't have a special rhythm or ways. Like we know that in John chapter 4 when he talked, he just went and had a conversation with the woman at the well. So they walked you through that, and I came out knowing Jesus. And given the fact that, you know, that I grew up in church, and some people would indicate that I was in a bubble growing up and all of that, and some would say that before that, because, you know, they say, hey, what was your life like before Jesus, after all this stuff like that? And before Jesus, like, my life, I was going to church. Like, I didn't really have, like, hard life like some of these people. And I think that's what gets us tripped up when we want to share our story. And that's the encouragement of this episode, is if you know Jesus and you're listening to this episode, share your story, whatever it is. And I think that's sometimes why we shy away, because we hear other people share their stories and they talk about how they've overcome alcohol or drug or even sex addictions and all of these different things like that, and how God pulled them out of like a pit and they met Jesus and their life changed and they felt like all this different kind of purpose and worth and all that. Like, I've heard stories like that, and those stories amaze me at the love and kindness and the saving of Jesus that he did, that his name does, the power that's in his name. But there's also stories like mine, maybe even like yours, and maybe you have a story of how Jesus pulled you out of something. And it was just like he pulled you out of rock bottom, and you knew that he was something to depend on, and you knew how he changed your life. And so what I want to encourage right now is if you follow Jesus and you know Jesus as your savior, share your story, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's a post on Instagram, whatever it is, a short video, whatever, share your story. That's why this episode is titled that. Paul shared his story in this little segment, as brief as it was. I think it was brief because Paul, I think, had probably already shared a majority of his story with the people of Philippi when he was there. But he shared a brief snapshot of it here, almost as if to remind them, maybe even to remind himself. And it's good for us to share our story because we know where we've come from, right? We've come from back there and how Jesus met us back there. Jesus didn't wait for anybody to clean anything up. Jesus didn't wait for the woman at the well to clean herself up. He just went, met her, talked to her, changed her life, and then she brought people back. She went into town and shared her story, right? So that's what I'm encouraging you to do. Share your story. You never know what your little story might have an impact on somebody's life. Now, if you haven't met Jesus yet, if you're still wondering if you can be good enough to meet Jesus, if you wonder if you're ever going to measure up, if you wonder if he's ever going to accept you with the way that you are. I told a story a couple weeks ago that it doesn't matter, right? I told a story of a pastor who got asked, you know, hey, if I want to be in a relationship with Jesus, do I have to stop smoking weed first? And I was like, I was interested in this story. It was a Instagram reel. It was one of those little short little videos on social media. And he said, you know, the guy was like very adamant, like, do I have to stop smoking weed? Do I have to put this habit down? Do I have to do? And the pastor kept saying, no, you don't. And that's true, because when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, that relationship is going to call attention to things that you and Jesus are going to fix. Jesus doesn't require changing first. He didn't require the woman at the well. You know about that story. She was married five times. She was living with somebody that she wasn't married to. And Jesus called her out on that. But then it was up to her and in the relationship with Jesus to change that. That when she met Jesus, that she would want to change that lifestyle. And it's up to us to do the same. So I encourage you, it's simple. I've said that before on here, that sometimes meeting Jesus gets overcomplicated and stressful. And some people say, well, you gotta pick this habit up. You gotta put this habit down. You gotta put it on extinction, or otherwise you're gonna, like, you're never gonna be what God wants you to be, and all this stuff like that. And they forget how we like Paul saying, you know, hey, you gotta straighten it up first. Paul wasn't straight of anything when he met Jesus. Jesus straightened him out. So I've said it before, it's as simple as admitting that we've messed up, that we are in desperate need of a Savior, that Jesus is that Savior, and that Jesus came to live a life that we couldn't live, to pay the debt of sin, to pay the wage of sin, as Romans 6:23 says. The wages of sin is death. Jesus had to pay that sin. Jesus had to make that payment. And so we believe that he did that. And then we believe that Jesus rose him from the dead, and that he's our Savior. And that if we believe all of that, the Bible says we will be saved. Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and that you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And it's for believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is opened by declaring your faith that you are saved. So once again, there's faith. Paul mentioned it, right? Paul mentioned it in our thing, that we are saved by our faith. That Christ made it a way that we are saved by our faith. It relies on our faith. And this is exactly what that indicates. You will be saved. And it says, for anyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you want to do that today, it can be between you and God. It's simply saying, hey, I know I've messed up. I know I'm in need of a Savior, and I know that Jesus paid my sin on the cross, and I know that you raised him from the dead so that I can be saved. And if you call on the name of Jesus, you will be saved. And if you do that at any point, today, next week, whatever, if you take this and you rewind it and you listen to it so you can do it, the Bible says you will be saved. And then I encourage you, after that, your steps would be to share your story, but also to get plugged into a local church. Get plugged in anywhere you can. Listen to other things, but try to get plugged into a church. Start reading the Bible. Remember how I said knowing is not knowing? Like, you can know about Jesus all you want. There are people that know about Jesus, right? I'm going to say this. Don't take this any... Don't hear this wrong, but even the devil knows about Jesus. But the devil doesn't know Jesus. Come on, somebody, with that. The devil doesn't know Jesus. He knows of Jesus. So get to know Jesus. Read the Bible. Get to know Jesus. Because I know I used an example of, like, we will one day meet Jesus. But this kind of a relationship is different with Jesus. We can actually meet him. He's actually a part of our life. So read the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Start in John. I always encourage people to start there, because the whole purpose of John is that we can believe more in Jesus, and that we can have life by the power of his name and have life to the full. That's John's message. So I always encourage people to start there. So once again, if you prayed that, I encourage you to get plugged in somewhere and be a part of a church, be a part of a community that will help you take steps and that help you continue to grow. Dive into the Bible, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. Pick that. So my encouragement is, if you already follow Jesus, share your story. If you just decided to follow Jesus, get plugged into a local church, share your story, and dive into the Bible. Also, for everybody, dive into the Bible. Get to know more about who we're talking about here. And it'll give you some joy. I know it will, because look at Paul. Paul was a mess, and now he's just got infinite joy of knowing that one day he's going to meet Jesus. And that should give us all the joy, that our work for Jesus is what we need to be doing. We can work for ourselves, and we can work for all of this stuff, and we can build our mansions down here, and we can have all the things that we ever wanted, but none of that's going to go with us. And if we don't know Jesus, all of it's going to be empty anyway. So that's my encouragement. I think that's Paul's encouragement. And next week, we're going to talk a little bit more about kind of how this works. Pressing on toward the goal is the theme of the next little section that we're going to dive into. So I hope to see you next week. I hope you'll come back. I hope that you'll get plugged in. If you've just started following Jesus, you can always shoot us an email too. However it was, but I encourage you, find some more. Just start diving in, and your life will be forever changed with Jesus. So I hope to see you next week as we continue on in our I've Got the Joy series.